But you see, you people don't just publish journals. You have a whole bunch of books that Mr. Green got in addition to the journals. How do you ever get it to court? Well, this time Mr. Green may have to go to Costa Rica because he gets closer and closer to having to confront court. And yet his attorneys come right back and enter new lawsuits to try to hold that gold and now try to get it shipped back to Nevada in spite of two Supreme Court rulings and two judges' rulings. So it'll be interesting to see. Therefore, we can't very well count on that as income, can we? So we have to get some contracts done. And that brings me right back to the Indian reservations. Because we can't just go purchase, say, the Tejon Ranch and get it all deeded and turned around instantly. We can do that part of it once we have money, but to get it approved as a federal exempt reservation is a whole nother deal. So we're going to have to originally go with something already established. Maybe Eagle Mountain. The best one so far is over near Henderson in Nevada. There are plenty of places around that we can immediately even utilize part of the casino. And they can go dig a hole in the backyard to house the gold. That's probably a good idea. He knows about gold and digging holes. But this is what we are telling our presumed partners. This is what we're going to do. We cannot let you keep this forever. We will contribute to whatever projects you have going, because we're dealing with nobody now except those that are building humanitarian projects, improving their own people's position. They do understand that. And these are people that really want to help their own people and have pledged this to God. And they mean it. You're dealing with an entirely different type of a circumstance in Switzerland. But they understand it, and they are moving it slowly but surely. I don't think it's even slowly. Rick talked to someone on Friday, and he said, I've already sent that work on up. And yes, we are very seriously looking at it. So you're going to have to follow up. Our statement from the very beginning is that we're going to have to understand that we can't really do that much and that type of business back and forth into the United States. We will have to bring it in this way, and we outline the plan. But that gives them the ability to utilize those funds locally. And then we can pull them as we can and need them. And the very first thing, and we make no bones about it, is it will go to the Indian tribal councils. We're not interested in running the Indian business either. Maybe Jesse is, because he's stuck with it. White eyes are not going to go in there unless asked. And then it will be with someone who knows how to set up a Muslim-style bank that does not charge interest, that handles banking differently, and that will be a good business for them, and then they can begin to build industries. And that's all the better for us, Jess, if the federal government's having to pull out, because you see, the least get hurt the worst and first. And the Indians ought to be just about ready for another war and it'll be called a civil war. Well, we're not going to get to the point of that. Let us do it properly, and we'll do it with funds back to buy something. And we need to do it, and we need to get on with it. Anybody want to kill that one further? This week needs to look at that Canadian border situation, and then we're going to just proceed as rapidly as possible, pushing for these appointments. We are reestablishing some connections out of Africa. We already have some major connections in Africa taking place, but some that kind of went away as we have revamped our own possibilities, and as the Russell Herman funding had to become public so we could keep Rick alive, it's going to be very, very helpful, because now people do not have to be concerned with working with erratic human beings. And then I think we should talk just a little bit about God and spiritual aspects of our lives. Yes.
Because I remember that time when I mentioned about going to Texas. And I read in the contact where certain bugs are going to be released in Houston. And it just was too coincidental that when I finally do get from there to Fort Worth and on to some other things, that I really got hit hard with the worst of the pain. Some before I left, I felt like I was going on my last legs just to do a project, but some doctors down there were kind enough to, with compassion, to give me the painkillers I need so I could get back to L.A. and of course, get into the hospital systems there. But it was real interesting. So I was 5 weeks in these emergency rooms at USC going through, and I'm basically just sharing this for anyone here or out there listening that may have to go through these sorts of things, because that particular experience in that hospital, I really thought I was going to die. There wasn't the uplifting that you need to have a sense of hope, or that there's something that's going to happen. Because when I checked in there, I had a tumor on the left side of my neck as big as a golf ball. So they saw that, and they didn't have to question anything. They just immediately put me in the hospital in emergency and start doing their stuff on me. And especially this tumor up here, which was interesting, because they wanted to, after a week or so of observation, they had it on their x-rays. At a certain point, I snuck out of the hospital because I went back to my house to. I knew there was a box of that microhydrin. I asked you about it before, silica hydride, and you said that it was very good because it would put sulfur back in the bones. So I went home and got that, and I got back to the hospital just in time. The nurses said, "We held your bed, but anyone else, we'd have." Well, I'd have lost my bed, so I guess I'd have just had to lay down on the floor there. But, so I ate a month's supply of that stuff in a week, and that particular tumor disappeared.
I bet that disappointed them. Or they will have taken credit for something.
It was interesting because, they're looking at x-rays, and there it is, but yet they can't find it, and they poked me with four of their little teeny needles to try to get a biopsy, and and all that comes up with is benign. And they say, well, we got to check that again. So the next couple of days, they poke around, they try to find it again, and they can't. So the end result of that was, we'll just have to cut it out. Well, but there's nothing there to cut out, so.
It's called exploratory.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So they go ahead, and I'm sitting there, and I'm painkiller and stuff on this side of the neck, but I'm alive, and I'm aware during the operation. And this Dr. Thane, whatever his name was, I remember names, but he puts his finger in there and he can't find it, so he calls the head of the whole department in there, and they kind of, and the head comes in and says, well, now that's it, you must have it, that's the right one. He says, well, take that out. So
probably your juggler.
I figured it might have been a muscle, a ligament or something. But it was real interesting that that particular product helped me that much. But the most suffering thing I went through while I was in the hospital was probably emotional. I really felt that, well, it was time for me to go, and I was talking with God and all of the various sources I have to whatever that means. And I figured it was time to go. So then I started feeling, well, but I don't want to go because I started missing it. I started missing all of you, really, first, just to tell the truth. And, of course, then family. And I had a cellular phone. Cellular phones don't work in hospitals, and didn't in that one, nowhere. But somehow in the room I was in, my cellular phone worked. And so I was able to get phone calls from family and different people that really lifted me up in a way that I could feel like this is worth fighting and I'll go on with this. And so that emotional part, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to heal, but I just want to add that probably the most important that we in this human world will find as healing goes is to find those relationships that are so filled with love and so filled with that spiritual power. The people and friends I have at the City Yoga Foundation would call me all the way from New York with it on their nickel just to support me and how much they care. Mother Amritan onto my would even send her own people to pick me up to make sure that I got to the two meetings in L.A. when just a couple weeks ago when she was there, and then gave me a scholarship to go to the weekend retreat at the Hilton Hotel. And those vibrations of that spiritual love, that connection with God, was so incredibly powerful. You know, they'd help me change my shoes if I needed to. Whatever I needed, they...
That's life.
They made sure I had that.
That is life. Sometimes what we're doing here really can't even be considered life because you have to be so careful. And ones think, well, I'm not doing anything. I can run over there and do this or run over there and do that. But if you have been around here and you run over to do something, the one that you go to do unto is then put in jeopardy because we're dangerous. And I always wanted you to think, no, this is not dangerous and working for God is not dangerous. At this point, it's very dangerous. All you have to do is use your head. Don't put anybody else in jeopardy. That's number one. And when you have a strong spiritual base under you, through some other conduit, allow them to participate and use it. You can make this up to them later. We're going to be successful. And the ones that see us through these hard times are the ones that are going to be rewarded. And it will be very quietly done, very substantially done, and a quiet thank you is absolutely sufficient, or nothing at all. I don't want a bunch of people like Bo Greitz, who takes and takes and takes, and then he loses. He's a sore loser, number one. Number two, he had taken and taken and taken from people, and he didn't consider that he even owed them a thank you. No, we owe thank yous. We owe appreciation. And we should not be able to sleep nights as long as we are owing those debts. And I think that David is a good example. It is not all right if he cuts out before he pays those debts. And how grateful we are that there is someone to step in there and fill that gap. L.A. is still quite a ways from here for anyone to be able to handle it. We have to go a little further. And we have to go a little further basically alone as individuals. And then we will never have some great, big, honking seminary or something. It'll be called something else, and it'll be run separately. We're going to have an institute for education and research. And we're not going to call it religion.
And a couple of the projects that Mother has in her heart to do, of course, is a cancer clinic in India, an AIDS clinic, so people who are very sick in that way can have an access to feeling loved and to feeling cared for in those final days. As such, I'd love to be able to support that in some way.
Then let's do it, David. Let's not love too. Let's do it.
Let's do that. And notice all these wonderful hearts around that, in a sense, this cancer has been a tremendous blessing. And sometimes I think, well, I have this cancer, sure. And there's a lot of pain here and there, but at the same time, it's my cancer. I can love my cancer. And I can learn from it.
You can certainly grow above it.
And grow beyond it. And every night I remember when Commander told me once, even if I fall in the deepest pit, he says, I myself will come to get you. And there were times when I was holding him to that that promise.
Well, here you are. God never makes it easy, though, does he?
No, he doesn't. But he makes it so rewarding that we don't need it to be easy. We just need it to be. And it was amazing that in the hospital, and of course sometimes I get too much in my mind about the conspiracies, and of course there's people that want us out of their way. And in the hospital I wonder, well, who snuck this stuff in on me? Because, you know, these kind of thoughts. And especially at one point when I'm leaving, more or less being thrown out of the emergency room, you have to go now. And I didn't want to. I felt like they were there at least keeping me alive, but at the same time they were killing me. And but as I was leaving there, one of the nurses came up, and almost like she was afraid to spend too much time, but she handed me some three other tablets among the others that the other nurses were giving me, and says, here, you do these three, trust me. And then I started thinking, well, maybe there's something here that I shouldn't trust, and maybe one nurse was part of God's team that was helping me in some way. I don't know that anyone would deliberately try to hit me with this stuff. Maybe so. one of the doctors, as I was telling, I share with him that I'm doing these incredible antioxidants, and maybe I shouldn't give them literature on gondrion and the different things I know about, because I really don't want to hear it, to tell you the truth. And he says, we just don't suggest antioxidants because that gets in the way of this radiation that you're doing. And I said, well, okay, I'll do it your way. Of course, I go home and I do my antioxidants so I can stay alive.
Well, they've got you, because you either have to get illegal drugs or you have to go to a doctor to be able to get anything to relieve the pain. And pain is a major, major motivator. Now, this is one thing about the boxes that Terry can talk to you about. Of all of the symptoms that are helped, pain is the first. So it's worth discussing that very carefully.
Well, I asked him about radiation because I don't want the chemotherapy at all. I don't know how to give him permission to do that to me. But he says with six or seven tumors that I have, bone cancer, different places in the bones, he says, we can radiate all these, but with what you got, we'll be radiating you all year. And I have more faith in my antioxidants and Noni and some of the things that I have from those levels. As far as physically, I'm grateful to have this access to people like Les and some other people who called me, but more than all of these physical ways, I'm so grateful to you, Commander, and to the help I've gotten from Lord Sananda and the other great beings in those realms. Sometimes I see the Sananda sitting on the corner of the bed, so I'll remember he's there all night. Those are the most meaningful things to me. But personally, I don't want to leave for a while. I feel like I haven't done enough.
It's all right. These are emotional times. And anyone who's walked very close to that edge, which is almost everyone in here, at one time or another, you have experienced your journey across the way, or you wouldn't be in here. That's an important part of this whole project, and you won't remember. And then when it is appropriate, you will remember. And you will remember having gone that way before. And you will remember how short the experience of actually what you consider being alive in the human form seems to be, like nothing. And sometimes that makes you more careless in your next choices. The memory fades. So that was a very short journey, but I learned a lot. I will be able to do a better job now as I make my turnaround. And then there will be the experiencing. All of you at one time or another have been into cardiac arrest. Or you have made that journey over and you have come back. And just because you don't remember doesn't mean you haven't been there. Because there is a time when you're going to have to function. Some can just remove and function on that side. Some will have to be here. Some are going to have to go back and forth. And that means that sometimes you're going to have to experience that journey across that chasm, which is really nothing. It's less than a breath. It is a non-breath, is what it is. But you change so incredibly in the dimensional structure of your being. And you don't need all that stuff that weights you down. The tumors, the bones. You don't need any of that. And once you have experienced, not only does the fear of that transition go away, but also in the physical form of consciousness, you must face the incredible prospect of not being able to consciously function. I won't be able to sit and think this out. Once I've made that transition, I cannot unmake it. Once I have severed, I cannot come back. Am I going to wish that I had just sustained a little bit longer to do my job? These are all choices everybody has to make with each breath, really. And then sometimes it gets too enticing from the beauty of the place. If you have grown enough and you experience in the beauty of that other environment, well, who the heck wants to come back to the misery or the problems or the mundane is what it is. It is the greatest experience. It is the schoolroom. And if you leave school, if you drop out of school, that's the largest mistake of all. And yet God will let you do it. Those are your choices. You have to, and as you suffer, physical pain makes you wish to run away. That is the human instinct, to move away from pain. And sometimes emotional pain can be the most destructive and hurtful of all. But it isn't just beating at you. But you can also learn to control pain with the mind. So let's not give up. Let's never just give up. Unless you have truly decided it is your time and you're ready and you just don't need any more. I have to consider the one such as Orion Sutton. Beautiful, beautiful person. He was through living. There was nothing here to pull him to this living, this physical realm of living. He could meet once in a while with people he loved and whom they cared. But his relationship at home was terrible. And that is the most destructive thing that can happen. When the emotional stability of a person cannot bear longer to live in an environment. And when you don't need to overcome more of that for your lessons, then God is going to let you come home. As long as there is a nagging need that you're not through, then you won't go. And many of you may find that your task will be from a wheelchair. Some of you are already finding the heaviest part of your workload has come when you should be retired, and you're calling yourselves old. That's life, and it happens. But we can make something incredible out of it. God is waiting to see who will create the way. How many of you have learned that your God creative ability can heal, can direct, can create the way to anything you want to accomplish. Therefore, you have to be very careful what it is you set as your goal, because the mind is a marvelous entity. It will fulfill your wishes. So whatever your intent and desire truly is in the soul, it will create it. But you see, you people don't just publish journals. You have a whole bunch of books that Mr. Green got in addition to the journals. How do you ever get it to court? Well, this time Mr. Reen may have to go to Costa Rica because he gets closer and closer to having to confront court. And yet his attorneys come right back and enter new lawsuits to try to hold that gold and now try to get it shipped back to Nevada in spite of two Supreme Court rulings and two judges' rulings. So it'll be interesting to see. Therefore, we can't very well count on that as income, can we? So we have to get some contracts done. And that brings me right back to the Indian reservations. Because we can't just go purchase, say, the Tejon Ranch and get it all deeded and turned around instantly. We can do that part of it once we have money, but to get it approved as a federal exempt reservation is a whole nother deal. So we're going to have to originally go with something already established. Maybe Eagle Mountain. The best one so far is over near Henderson in Nevada. There are plenty of places around that we can immediately even utilize part of the casino. And they can go dig a hole in the backyard to house the gold. That's probably a good idea. He knows about gold and digging holes. But this is what we are telling our presumed partners. This is what we're going to do. We cannot let you keep this forever. We will contribute to whatever projects you have going. Because we're dealing with nobody now except those that are building humanitarian projects, improving their own people's position. They do understand that. And these are people that really want to help their own people and have pledged this to God. And they mean it. You're dealing with an entirely different type of a circumstance in Switzerland. But they understand it, and they are moving it slowly, but surely. I don't think it's even slowly. Rick talked to someone on Friday, and he said, I've already sent that work on up. And yes, we are very seriously looking at it. So you're going to have to follow up. Our statement from the very beginning is that we're going to have to understand that we can't really do that much and that type of business back and forth into the United States. We will have to bring it in this way, and we outline the plan. But that gives them the ability to utilize those funds locally. And then we can pull them as we can and need them. And the very first thing, and we make no bones about it, is it will go to the Indian tribal councils. We're not interested in running the Indian business either. Maybe Jesse is because he's stuck with it. White eyes are not going to go in there unless asked. And then it will be with someone who knows how to set up a Muslim-style bank that does not charge interest, that handles banking differently, and that will be a good business for them, and then they can begin to build industries. And that's all the better for us, Jess, if the federal government's having to pull out. Because you see, the least get hurt the worst and first. And the Indians ought to be just about ready for another war, and it'll be called a civil war. Well, we're not going to get to the point of that. Let us do it properly. And we'll do it with funds back to buy something. and we need to do it, and we need to get on with it. Anybody want to kill that one further? This week needs to look at that Canadian border situation, and then we're going to just proceed as rapidly as possible, pushing for these appointments. We are re-establishing some connections out of Africa. We already have some major connections in Africa taking place, but some that kind of went away as we have revamped our own possibilities, and as the Russell Herman funding had to become public so we could keep Rick alive, it's going to be very, very helpful, because now people do not have to be concerned with working with erratic human beings. And then I think we should talk just a little bit about God and spiritual aspects of our lives. Yes.
Because I remember that time when I mentioned about going to Texas. And I read in the contact where certain bugs were going to be released in Houston. And it just was too coincidental that when I finally do get from there to Fort Worth and on to some other things, that I really got hit hard with the worst of the pain. Some before I left, I felt like I was going on my last legs just to do a project. But some doctors down there were kind enough to, with compassion, to give me the painkillers I need so I could get back to L.A. and of course, get into the hospital systems there. But it was real interesting. So I was 5 weeks in these emergency rooms at USC going through, and I'm basically just sharing this for anyone here or out there listening that may have to go through these sorts of things, because that particular experience in that hospital, I really thought I was going to die. There wasn't the uplifting that you need to have a sense of hope, or that there's something that's going to happen. Because when I checked in there, I had a tumor on the left side of my neck as big as a golf ball. So they saw that, and they didn't have to question anything. They just immediate put me in the hospital in emergency and start doing their stuff on me. And especially this tumor up here, which was interesting, because they wanted to, after a week or so of observation, they had it on their x-rays. At a certain point, I snuck out of the hospital because I went back to my house to. I knew there was a box of that microhydrin. I asked you about it before, silica hydride, and you said that it was very good because it would put sulfur back in the bones. So I went home and got that, and I got back to the hospital just in time. The nurses said, "We held your bed, but anyone else, we'd have." Well, I'd have lost my bed, so I guess I'd have just had to lay down on the floor there. But, so I ate a month's supply of that stuff in a week, and that particular tumor disappeared.
I bet that disappointed them. Or they will have taken credit for something.
It was interesting because, they're looking at x-rays, and there it is, but yet they can't find it, and they poked me with four of their little teeny needles to try to get a biopsy, and all that comes up with is benign. And they say, "Well, we got to check that again." So the next couple of days, they poke around, they try to find it again, and they can't. So the end result of that was, we'll just have to cut it out. Well, but there's nothing there to cut out, so.
It's called exploratory.
Yeah. So they go ahead, and I'm sitting there, painkiller and stuff on this side of the neck, but I'm alive, and I'm aware during the operation. And this Dr. Thane, whatever his name was, I remember names, but he puts his finger in there, and he can't find it, so he calls the head of the whole department in there, and the head comes in and says, "Well, now that's it. You must have it. That's the right one." He says, "Well, take that out." So
probably your juggler.
I figured it might have been a muscle, a ligament or something. But it was real interesting that particular product helped me that much. But the most suffering thing I went through while I was in the hospital was probably emotional. I really felt that, well, it was time for me to go, and I was talking with God and all of the various sources I have to whatever that means. And I figured it was time to go. So then I started feeling, well, but I don't want to go, because I started missing it. I started missing all of you, really, first, just to tell the truth. And, of course, then family, and I had a cellular phone. Cellular phones don't work in hospitals, and didn't in that one, nowhere. But somehow in the room I was in, my cellular phone worked. And so I was able to get phone calls from family and different people that really lifted me up in a way that I could feel like this is worth fighting and I'll go on with this. So that emotional part, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to heal, but I just want to add that probably the most important that we in this human world will find as healing goes is to find those relationships that are so filled with love and so filled with that spiritual power. The people and friends I have at the City Yoga Foundation would call me all the way from New York on their nickel just to support me and how much they care. Mother Amritan would even send her own people to pick me up to make sure that I got to the two meetings in L.A. when just a couple weeks ago when she was there, and then gave me a scholarship to go to the weekend retreat at the Hilton Hotel. And those vibrations of that spiritual love, that connection with God, was so incredibly powerful. And, you know, they'd help me change my shoes if I needed to. Whatever I needed,
That's life.
They made sure I had that.
That is life. Sometimes what we're doing here really can't even be considered life, because you have to be so careful. And ones think, well, I'm not doing anything. I can run over there and do this or run over there and do that. But if you have been around here and you run over to do something, the one that you go to do unto is then put in jeopardy, because we're dangerous. And I always wanted you to think, no, this is not dangerous, and working for God is not dangerous. At this point, it's very dangerous. All you have to do is use your head. Don't put anybody else in jeopardy. That's number one. And when you have a strong spiritual base under you, through some other conduit, allow them to participate and use it. You can make this up to them later. We're going to be successful. And the ones that see us through these hard times are the ones that are going to be rewarded. And it will be very quietly done, very substantially done, and a quiet thank you is absolutely sufficient. or nothing at all. I don't want a bunch of people like Bo Grites, who takes and takes and takes, and then he loses. He's a sore loser, number one. Number two, he had taken and taken and taken from people, and he didn't consider that he even owed them a thank you. No, we owe thank yous. We owe appreciation. And we should not be able to sleep nights as long as we are owing those debts. And I think that David is a good example. It is not all right if he cuts out before he pays those debts.
You're stuck.
And how grateful we are that there is someone to step in there and fill that gap. L.A. is still quite a ways from here for anyone to be able to handle it. We have to go a little further. And we have to go a little further basically alone as individuals. And then we will never have some great, big, honking seminary or something. It'll be called something else and it'll be run separately. We're going to have an institute for education and research. And we're not going to call it religion.
And a couple of the projects that Mother has in her heart to do, of course, is a cancer clinic in India, an AIDS clinic, so people who are very sick in that way can have an access to feeling loved and to feeling cared for in those final days. As such, I'd love to be able to support that in some way.
Then let's do it, David. Let's not love to. Let's do it.
Let's do that. And notice all these wonderful hearts around that, in a sense, this cancer has been a tremendous blessing. Sometimes I think, well, I have this cancer, sure, and there's a lot of pain here and there, but at the same time, it's my cancer. I can love my cancer. Well, I can learn from it.
You can certainly grow above it.
And grow beyond it, and every night I remember when Commander told me once, even if I fall in the deepest pit, says, I myself will come to get you. And there were times when I was holding him to that that promise.
Well, here you are. God never makes it easy, though, does he?
No, he doesn't. But he makes it so rewarding that we don't need it to be easy. We just need it to be. And it was amazing that in the hospital, and of course sometimes I get too much in my mind about the conspiracies, and of course there's people that want us out of their way. And in the hospital I wondered, well, who snuck this stuff in on me? Because, you know, these kind of thoughts. And especially at one point when I'm leaving, more or less being thrown out of the emergency room, you have to go now. And I didn't want to. I felt like they were there at least keeping me alive, but at the same time they were killing me. But as I was leaving there, one of the nurses came up, and almost like she was afraid to spend too much time, but she handed me some three other tablets among the others that the other nurses were giving me, and says, here, you do these three, trust me. And then I started thinking, well, maybe there's something here that I shouldn't trust. And maybe one nurse was part of God's team that was helping me in some way. I don't know that anyone would deliberately try to hit me with this stuff. Maybe so. One of the doctors, as I was telling, I share with him that I'm doing these incredible antioxidants, maybe I shouldn't give them literature on Gondrian and the different things I know about, because I really don't want to hear it, tell you the truth. And he says, we just don't suggest antioxidants because that gets in the way of this radiation that you're doing. And I said, well, okay, I'll do it your way. Of course, I go home and I do my antioxidants so I can stay alive.
Well, they've got you. Because you either have to get illegal drugs or you have to go to a doctor to be able to get anything to relieve the pain. And pain is a major, major motivator. Now, this is one thing about the boxes that Terry can talk to you about. Of all of the symptoms that are helped, pain is the first. So it's worth discussing that very carefully.
Well, I asked him about radiation because I don't want the chemotherapy at all. I don't know how to give him permission to do that to me. But he says with the 6 or 7 tumors that I have, bone cancer, different places in the bones, he says we can radiate all these, but with what you've got, we'll be radiating you all year. And I have more faith in my antioxidants and Noni and some of the things that I have from those levels. As far as physically, I'm grateful to have this access to people like Les. And some other people have called me, but more than all of these physical ways, I'm so grateful to you, Commander, and to the help I've gotten from Lord Sananda and the other great beings in those realms. Sometimes I see the Sananda sitting on the corner of the bed, so I'll remember he's there all night. Those are the most meaningful things to me. But personally, I don't want to leave for a while. I feel like I haven't done enough.
It's all right. These are emotional times. And anyone who's walked very close to that edge, which is almost everyone in here, at one time or another, you have experienced your journey across the way, or you wouldn't be in here. That's an important part of this whole project, and you won't remember. And then when it is appropriate, you will remember. And you will remember having gone that way before. And you will remember how short the experience of actually what you consider being alive in the human form seems to be, like nothing. And sometimes that makes you more careless in your next choices. That one really wasn't very, the memory fades. So that was a very short journey, but I learned a lot. I will be able to do a better job now as I make my turnaround. And then there will be the experiencing. All of you at one time or another have been into cardiac arrest. Or you have made that journey over and you have come back. And just because you don't remember doesn't mean you haven't been there. Because there is a time when you're going to have to function. Some can just remove and function on that side. Some will have to be here. Some are going to have to go back and forth. And that means that sometimes you're going to have to experience that journey across that chasm, which is really nothing. It's less than a breath. It is a non-breath, is what it is. But you change so incredibly in the dimensional structure of your being. And you don't need all that stuff that weights you down, the tumors, the bones. You don't need any of that. And once you have experienced, not only does the fear of that transition go away, but also in the physical form of consciousness, you must face the incredible prospect of not being able to consciously function. I won't be able to sit and think this out. Once I've made that transition, I cannot unmake it. Once I have severed, I cannot come back. Am I going to wish that I had just sustained a little bit longer to do my job? These are all choices everybody has to make with each breath, really. And then sometimes it gets too enticing. From the beauty of the place, if you have grown enough and you experience in the beauty of that other environment, well, who the heck wants to come back to the misery or the problems or the mundane is what it is. It is the greatest experience. It is the schoolroom. And if you leave school, if you drop out of school, that's the largest mistake of all. And yet God will let you do it. Those are your choices. You have to. And as you suffer, physical pain makes you wish to run away. That is the human instinct, to move away from pain. And sometimes emotional pain can be the most destructive and hurtful of all. But it isn't just beating at you. But you can also learn to control pain with the mind. So let's not give up. Let's never just give up unless you have truly decided it is your time and you're ready. And you just don't need any more. I have to consider the one such as Orion Sutton. Beautiful, beautiful person. He was through living. There was nothing here to pull him to this living, this physical realm of living. He could meet once in a while with people he loved and whom they cared. But his relationship at home was terrible. And that is the most destructive thing that can happen. When the emotional stability of a person cannot bear longer to live in an environment. And when you don't need to overcome more of that for your lessons, then God is going to let you come home. As long as there is a nagging need that you're not through, then you won't go. And many of you may find that your task will be from a wheelchair. Some of you are already finding the heaviest part of your workload has come when you should be retired. And you're calling yourselves old. That's life. And it happens. But we can make something incredible out of it. God is waiting to see who will create the way. How many of you have learned that your God creative ability can heal, can direct, can create the way to anything you want to accomplish. Therefore, you have to be very careful what it is you set as your goal, because the mind is a marvelous entity. It will fulfill your wishes. So whatever your intent and desire truly is in the soul, it will create it.